Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. We have Kimberly Klasick in studio, who broke the internet with her very famous ad. We talk about the black community. We talk about the inner cities, President Trump, and so much more. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, and listen to our sister episode, which is the Ask Me Anything. Buckle up, everybody. Kimberly Klasick is here. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Super thrilled to be joined in person.
Yes.
With Kimberly Klasick herself. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like every time I see you, you are marching confidently through Baltimore, ready to change the world.
Yeah, no, thank you. This has been quite a ride. You know, I've been running for office now for a year, but the past couple months, we've been doing really well because of our campaign ad directed by Benny Johnson. He's done two of them. And, you know, we've had millions of views. Our first campaign ad had over 30 million views. We had more views than Michelle Obama because it was the night of her DNC speech. So we were really excited about that. But yeah, it's been a wild ride. You know, Baltimore's got a lot of problems, but I think we can fix them with common sense policies.
Well, that's awesome. We love Benny, and he's our chief creative officer at Turning Point, and he's been personally helping out with a lot of different projects. He did awesome with you. So let's talk about your race. You're running for Congress. Mm-hmm. I want to first talk about your race, and I want to kind of go broadly. How's your race going?
So far, so good. So I'm against what you could call an incumbent, right? This is the former seat of Congressman Elijah Cummings, who passed away. But before he got in office in 96, my opponent, Kwaisi Nfume, had the seat from 1987 to 1996. And so he was in there. He signed that good old 1994 crime bill. He then left. He quit in the middle of his term, went over to head the NAACP. So he's kind of like an incumbent, a big name to beat. But interesting enough, this quarter, we filed our FEC report. We raised $6.4 million.
Jeez. Congratulations.
Thank you, which is so unheard of a Republican in Maryland, of course. So we're excited about that. But our opponent only raised $185,000.
Wow.
And now we've closed the gap. Typically, we're down 50 points as Republicans in Maryland's District 7, but we're only down 12 points. And that was from internal and external polls. So I think the help of the president pushing us forward, the campaign ads, I mean, it's been like the perfect storm. And I think we're going to take this.
Wow. So just speak more broadly. What are you hearing in the district about your candidacy and your campaign?
Yeah. And so I know you know well about fake news. So, you know, in the mainstream media, you'll hear that, you know, I'm not well liked. I think on The View, they said the black community does not have my back. But if you go to West Baltimore.
This is such a ridiculous
thing to say. It is. It is. If you go to West Baltimore, you talk to people and they're like, we love Kim. You know, Kim's the person that came in here, shot the videos and got the trash picked up. You know, Kim's calling out the corruption. So, you know, our message is resonating on the ground. We're very grassroots. We're all about hard work. So we knock doors 7 days a week. We were registering voters 5 days a week. We registered over 650 voters in an area where you would think everyone would be registered because they have the most to gain or lose. But there were a lot of people that just weren't registered to vote and didn't really, you know, keep tabs on what's going on. So we had to inform them as well as persuade them to vote for a Republican. And this is kind of what I talked about in my RNC speech. You know, Republicans have typically written off these inner cities. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, they're going to vote down ballot. They don't, you know, they always vote for Democrats. But when we got in neighborhoods and we're talking to them and we're like, you know, what can we do to persuade you to vote for a Republican? And they're like, you're the first Republican I've ever met.
Yeah.
And so that's what's different now. And I know that's what you guys work on here at Turning Point is just pushing us to a point where we're actually reaching people. And so they have options. And so, you know, in the streets of Baltimore, we're loved. You know, if you listen to mainstream media, we're not. But, you know, the polls show differently and the funding shows differently.
And even if, I mean, I hope you win. If you get even close, it would be an insane accomplishment.
Thank you. Yeah. And that would actually, I would hope, push Democrats to actually do their job. You know, if we get close, I mean, they're going to think, look, next time around, we could lose this seat. Mm-hmm. So maybe they would actually do what they said they're going
to
do.
And actually get, you know, black leaders to run for office against the Democrat. I mean, the Republican Party is obviously my preference and your preference. But just why don't they start questioning the Democrat Party for what they've done?
No, I don't know what it is. There's like a disconnect, you know, and this is crazy because at first when we were going into these neighborhoods in the very beginning of the campaign, people were blaming President Trump. And I'm like, I'm sorry, 17,000 vacant homes. These have been sitting like this for decades. OK, President Trump just got here in 2016. Was your life bad before 2016? And then the wheels start turning. And you can see it.
They don't think that way?
No. And then they're just like, well, yeah, because they just listen to the narrative, which is he's racist. The government's racist. There's, you know, this white guy keeping you down. And then I say, look at this. Okay, everyone in city council is a Democrat. Almost everyone is black. We have a black state's attorney, black prosecutors, black judges, a black mayor. Who is the white guy keeping you down? And that's what we have to talk to them. They have to really look at the entire picture. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to inform people.
So, and you start to see that happening.
Yeah.
And what are some of the policies that you're pushing forward the most that are resonating in the black community?
So a big one is, and why I'm here in Arizona talking to the kids at ALA, is school choice. You know, charter schools, getting the vouchers. We have, out of 39 high schools in Baltimore City, 13 of them have students that graduate not proficient in math. It's like, what do you expect these kids to do but go on the streets and end up in that kind of lifestyle when you don't even educate them? In the state of Maryland, we have 35 failing schools. 23 of them are in low-income neighborhoods in Baltimore. You know, there's a problem there. So school choice is a big one. Bringing career opportunities to the area. We talk about how manufacturing went overseas. As we saw during the lockdown, we had to rely on other countries for PPE. You know, why not bring that billion-dollar medical equipment industry back to the U.S.? You know, we have the second largest port in the country in Baltimore, and we don't utilize it. So I want to get manufacturing back, do job and career training, put apprenticeship programs through the schools. You know, not everyone is going to go off to college. Some people want to go to work. And so I just want to be able to provide those options for people.
And so you look at that in the kind of the inner city, and you're seeing that resonating. Mm-hmm. What has your opponent been saying of any consequence whatsoever besides having a D in front of his name?
Nothing. So he even refused to debate me. So I was actually on a local channel just, 3 days ago, doing a candidate conversation because he declined 6 times to come and debate me. Everyone else is racist. If they go out there and they debate, the mayors were debating. But he says he's just not going to debate me. And I've noticed a lot of comments on the Facebook page under my candidate conversation that they had to change it to since there was no debate. People were saying, you know what? I am not a huge fan of Kim Klasick. You know, I don't want to vote for a Republican, but the fact that he didn't even show up and give us a debate, you know, so that people can decide. You know, a lot of people felt it was disrespectful.
Hmm. And I would imagine so. The left does never wants to have a conversation. That is fundamental of it. So are you a lifelong Republican? What's been your journey to get to where you are today?
Yeah, no. So I didn't become a Republican until 2009.
Wow.
2008, I actually voted for President Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. I was very excited, like everyone else, first black president. I was like, finally, this is a great guy by all appearances, right? By all appearances, he's a great dad. By all appearances, he's a great husband. And that's what we need most in the black community is family structure. And I thought he was going to get in office and talk about how important that is to be involved in your children's education as he is. But he didn't. You know, he got in the White House and started talking about how he was such a victim in America. I'm like, dude, you're the president. You know, you won 2 terms. And to hear Michelle Obama now talking about the riots and the looting across the country as if it's nothing, as it's mostly peaceful protesting. You know, I think, you know, sitting in your mansion in Martha's Vineyard, you can say stuff like that. But for us that are in the streets every day, I mean, it's just they're so out of touch. So I turned to Republican Party in 2009. I joined the Baltimore County Republican Central Committee in 2018. Mm-hmm. Started to learn more about campaigns and how to get involved. And then I threw my hat in the ring last November.
And so have you been before the ad? Was the National Republican Party talking to you at all?
No.
Why?
Not at all. So the Maryland GOP party, and I say, in quote, Jesus Christ couldn't win that seat. And so I was told by the chairman, don't even try. They were not going to exhaust donors.
Who are these people?
I know, right? So Dirk Kerr is the chairman at MDGOP. But they said, we're not going to exhaust donors by having them donate to your campaign because we can't. Yeah, we can't win that seat. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'll go out there and try to make my own money for this race. Because at some point in time, you got to start chipping away. Right. You know, just to walk away and do nothing. We'll never flip this House seat. We need to flip seats in the House. And so, you know, the campaign ad went viral. Then all of a sudden our phone is ringing and it's, oh, Kimberly, we're glad you're doing so well. Then they're asking us for money. You know, I'm like, dude, where were you? You know, you only turned the corner because President Trump acknowledged us and what we were doing. And then, you know, the rest of the country acknowledged the campaign ad.
Yeah. And they don't believe in the strategy until it becomes expedient for them. It's a good lesson for you. Be careful. Remember the people before.
Yes.
Right. Not just the new friends.
Seeing the check engine light can give anyone anxiety. But that's why I have CarShield and I don't worry about it anymore. CarShield is amazing. They offer a wide range of protection plans that can save you thousands for a covered repair, which means that check engine light is a lot less scary when it comes on. You have the freedom to choose your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work. And CarShield gets the rest taken care of. Even if your car breaks down while you're traveling, the choice of a repair shop is still up to you. On top of that, there's no long-term contracts or commitments. CarShield has helped over 1 million drivers. That's why they're America's number one auto protection company. I used to dread car repairs, but with CarShield, I have a peace of mind. Get coverage today and see why CarShield cars go farther. Call 800-655-2157 and mention code Kirk or visit carshield.com. Use the code Kirk to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Kirk. A deductible may apply. So we're talking about Republicans and kind of reaching to black voters. What have Republicans done wrong the last 30 years to reach black voters?
Yeah, so they just really didn't show up. You know, obviously, like I said, the narrative in the media is Republicans are so racist, you know, which is the opposite. We all know the Democrat Party had a lot to do with that.
They are the party of racism.
Yeah. So, you know, but they believe this narrative because that's what they see and they hear. But, you know, for me, like I said, it's about going into the community and offering that option. A lot of black people don't realize that they are conservative in the fact that a lot of them grow up in the church.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're getting so far away from, you know, God and just, you know, morals, respecting each other. And, you know, right now we've have over 300 murders each year in Baltimore for the past 5 years. And this is a population of only 600,000 people. You know, we have 10 times the national average as far as our murder rate. And so, you know, at some point in time, we got to take a look around and say, look, you know, this is devastating our community. I talked a lot about the 1994 crime bill. Everyone's complaining about police brutality, but I say, look, how did we get here? That 1994 crime bill, the whole thing was to have more aggressive policing. That was a Democrat bill, you know? And so, you know, you have people going to jail for just petty things, for long sentences, and again, breaking out the family structure and taking a lot of black men out of the homes.
Yeah. So, but it was Democrats that authored it and Democrats that signed into it. You're going to have to help me here. Why are black people voting for Democrats?
I don't know. And more specifically,
you don't know. Who knows?
I know. More specifically, why are they voting for Joe Biden? Joe Biden is the one that sponsored the crime bill.
Because I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Black people have been abused by the Democrat Party.
Yeah, it's I want to say it's almost kind of like a brainwashing situation. And it's we've got to be able to roll it back and help them understand, you know, who has their best interest in heart. And like I said, it's going to take chipping away. Obviously, this isn't going to happen overnight. But I've been having these conversations, even think about like Section 8 housing. A lot of people didn't know that with Section 8 housing, to get that voucher, the man had to leave the household. So this broke up families. And this is something Lyndon Johnson introduced.
Democrat.
Yep. And the males had to leave the household. So then you had, one income coming in.
Yep.
And then the men weren't there. You know, you have single mothers raising their men. And it was a tough situation. For any race, that would be a tough situation. But these are Democrats that offered these things. If you look at Section 8 and you look at Section 3, people don't realize this, but Section 3 is just like Section 8, but the man can stay in the home. So why on earth did we adopt Section 8 over Section 3? I will never know.
They don't want black fathers in the home.
Exactly. And that's what we see right now with BLM, Black Lives Matter.
You call the BLM. I like that. I try to always make the difference. I call them BLM Inc. because it's a legalized money laundering situation.
Yeah, yep. And they're trying to break the family structure even more.
So you're in Baltimore.
Yep.
Trash on the streets, rats, the whole thing. You did the video. BLM has raised over $1 billion. Have you seen any of that go to Baltimore?
Not at all. And this
where's
is another
this
thing.
Where's this money going?
I could take some wild guesses, but
that one was a facetious question. But please.
No, it's not going into the black community. And that's what I put it on Twitter every once in a while. I'm like, look, if you want to support this organization, please just see whether or not they're supporting black lives. You know, and if you look down into it, they're not. You know, I hear all the time LeBron James speaks up for them. You've got all these athletes and celebrities speaking up for them. But that money isn't making it to the black community, just like federal dollars that were supposed to be in the black community in Baltimore City. Right. We've had billions of dollars sent to our Penn North corridor. That's where I did my campaign ads. That's where we had the 2015
riots.
Didn't
look very nice.
No, not nice at all. But for years, supposedly billions of dollars have been going to that area.
And the only and what we have seen is the further deterioration of the black community, the more the Democrats have gotten involved.
Yep.
And so I think part of it, though, is this constant fear mongering to the black community that there is a white boogeyman out there that just wants to keep them down and destroy them. And Republicans have done an awful job until President Trump. Mm-hmm. President Trump's the first candidate to kind of ask for the black community's vote.
Yeah.
Are you seeing movement towards Trump in the black community?
Absolutely. I think he just went up to, 14 points now?
Yeah, I don't know what it will. I mean, we'll see in the final tallying.
Well, I honestly think it's going to be more. I think there's a lot of people that
you're hearing and seeing that.
Yes, because of my race here in Baltimore. I just think there's going to be more because there's a lot of people that don't want the backlash. You know, you don't want to say you support President Trump. I have people that say they don't want my sign in their yard because it links me to Trump and they don't want the issues, but they are voting for me and Trump. And so, you know, we see people doing these polls all the time, but this is what's happening with the Democrat Party, the whole cancel culture. They'll never get an accurate poll moving forward because of the way they do these things. I think President Trump's going to do even more. He rolled out the Platinum Plan, talking about investing $500 billion in opportunity zones. We need that desperately. He talked about criminal justice reform. He did something, not President Obama. First Step Act, that was him. You know, having the HBCU funding so they didn't have to come back each year and ask for money.
Are you guys running a small business and you have banking needs? There's only one name you need to know. It's Azlo, A-Z-L-O. Azlo offers a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, no minimum balance requirements, and no maintenance or overdraft fees. Instead of the days it takes at a traditional bank where you're still required to go in person, with Azlo, you just go to azlo.com and apply in minutes. There is no waiting to use your account. With Azlo's free instant funding feature, you can deposit up to $1,000 and access it instantly. And now they've launched the all-new Azlo Pro Bundle for just $10 a month, with tools like the unlimited envelopes to organize your money, discounted instant transfers, and the ability to set up recurring invoices. Because you listen to this podcast, you can try Azlo Pro free for 14 days at azlo.com/charlie. Azlo's banking services are provided by BBVA USA member FDIC. Money Magazine called Azlo the best business banking option for freelancers and entrepreneurs. And Azlo's co-founder is one of Fortune Magazine's latest 40 Under 40. Learn more with a free copy of Azlo's Small Business Starter Guide or get started right now at Azlo Pro Free and with a 14-day trial. Azlo.com/Charlie. Azlo.com/Charlie. You were making a great point about the record of results for Donald Trump.
Yes. So he has actual tangible results that we can actually turn to. Criminal justice reform, First Step Act, funding for HBCUs. You know, people don't realize this, but every year the heads of these schools would have to come to the White House and ask for funding each year. And they did that with President Obama there for 8 years. And then President Trump said, look, why are you coming back each year asking for money? And they said, well, this is just what we have to do. And he changed that. He said, look, you're approved now. You're approved for good. You don't have to come back each year. You can actually look at your budget and make some real decisions moving forward. But that's President Trump. That's what he's about.
So one thing that a lot of our white students receive is they are being asked to apologize because they're white. And they are being told that racism is a power struggle. What is your opinion on all this hyper-racialization of our country?
It's a terrible distraction. I feel like it's always been a distraction. Yes. We see it the most during election years, or right at the election time. I mean, think about it. When we saw a lot with BLM, that
was back in 16.
Yeah. And even in 2012, remember after Trayvon Martin's death? Again, every 4 years, we see where America is so racist, and God forbid. But meanwhile, they're talking about this. Meanwhile, the candidate for the Democrat nominee himself is white. He's been in office for 47 years.
No, he's a racist white person.
Exactly. And so I tell people, look at back at the videos and how he treated Anita Hill when she came forward. Just look at how he talked to her. You know, that guy is not a good guy. Like I said, 1994 crime bill. You can't all of a sudden, you know, be in office for 50 years and then say, oh, now I care about the black community. Now, yeah, I've got Kamala Harris. I'm for black people. I don't understand how anyone could buy it. You know, he's such a fraud. And that comment he made while he was with Charlamagne the God on The Breakfast Club, you ain't black. I mean, there were a lot of people offended by that. And I was loving the fact that there were a lot of people on the left that were also offended by it.
Yeah, I completely agree. But still, Biden has 90% of the black vote. We'll see how much he ends up with. And I mean, my goodness, has there ever been a chance to hopefully disrupt that? And so can you talk more about this idea that speaking properly, showing up on time, all these things are attributes of whiteness?
Oh,
is that
gosh.
A thing that people say, like, stop acting white?
The fact that someone would even say that is so
insulting. I hear that's
insulting.
A big thing in the black community, though, is it?
Yeah, it's offensive. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't show up on time because I'm black.
That's a real thing. Yeah.
That's so offensive to even say.
Yes.
But people are buying into it. I don't get it. It's got to be brainwashing. It has to be. I heard my entire life, really, that I talked white. Right?
Because what does that mean?
I guess speaking regular English means you talk white. You know, my dad was an IBM executive. My mom sold health insurance. We had our family together. So blessed with that.
But one of the main reasons, probably.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, this is how my parents were. This is how they raised us. We weren't allowed to speak slang in the home. We weren't allowed. Because my dad said, there's one day you're going to go and you're going to go to a job interview and I want you to get the job. And so I don't understand how this is about being white. But I guess whatever it is to make victims feel better. At the end of the day.
Well, it's not a small thing. You know, millions of black young people are being told that it's okay to speak improperly. And if you do speak correctly, it's speaking white.
Right. It's so sad. And all that's doing is, you know, furthering us down this downward spiral of destruction. I mean, you know, we've got to be prepared. Like I said, the education system right now, we're not prepared in Baltimore City and predominantly black schools to do well. We're just not. And then I talk all the time. We hear Bernie Sanders and other people talking about free college. First, you got to get in. Right? Yeah. If our kids aren't being educated, we can't get in. We're not taking advantage of that free college. And so an employer will look at your resume and say, well, where's the free college? It's free. You know, so they're really, it's hurting the community more and more we talk about these nonsense.
Yeah. So long term, what would you like to see from a policy wise? If you were in charge of designing the black agenda for the Republican Party, I give you all that power. What are the 4 or 5 things? You know, is it rebuilding the family? Is it safer streets? Is it black investment, school choice? What is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Black investment, small businesses, nurturing the entrepreneurship. I talk about all the time how in Baltimore City, you might not know this, but they were doing this thing, they call it the hack ride. And so people would stand outside and go like this, and it was like a hack ride. But it was really Uber before Uber. And I was like, wait, if you would have had someone help you put that idea down and actually understand how to make that into an actual business and be successful in that way, that person that did the hack ride could have been the creative of Uber, you know? And that's the thing. We have to invest. We've got to have mentors. We have to have people that really care. I was talking the other day about just maybe having something like a boarding school option, you know, not making it mandatory. But let's face it, there are some kids living in very traumatic homes. Like I said, the gun violence, we have kids that know someone that's been shot, you know, in the past couple weeks. And that's trauma. You know, some kids I feel like would do better if they were living in a different environment. So I would see if we can make that an option, obviously school choice. And then, of course, supporting President Trump's platinum plan, investing in the opportunity zones. I think the more opportunities we have, the more education, you will see that crime and violence go down. But we have to come together. And I would love for people to stop basically chastising black people like myself that think a little bit differently.
I want to talk about that. Yeah. So tell us how the experience has been nationally by white liberals. I saw you on The View. You had mm-hmm. white liberals telling you basically sit down and shut up. You know, that's yeah. what white liberals do, though. They're yeah. racist. And that's why they, you know, that's why they always oppose Martin Luther King. And the way they treated you, Joy Behar, was disgusting.
Thank you.
It was. And you were wonderful.
Thanks.
But that's what – talk about this.
Yeah.
And why did they get a law, why did they get away with their racism?
No. And so just so in case people didn't see it, I was on A View talking we were talking about President Trump's response to the coronavirus pandemic. I said, look, he gave it to all the states. He did the best response I think anybody can do in that mm-hmm. situation. Joy did not like that answer. So she actually asked the question again, but she did it in a very hostile manner. And I was just like, okay, obviously she wants to fight today. You know, she picked the wrong one because I will fight. And so I just said, look, Joy, we all know that you paraded around in blackface. We all know that you did whatever it is you wanted to do. She called it an homage. You know, she said it wasn't that it was offensive. You know, I was like, well, no, it was offensive. And a lot of us took offense to it. And she said, the black community had my back. Now, imagine Joy Behar, a white woman, telling me, a black woman, that the black community had her back.
Yeah, she's white-splaining.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, hi, I am black, you know. So, but no, it's crazy. But again, this is kind of how they treat us, right? Like, we're all the same. So we're all the same. We all supported you, Joy, you know. And so Sonny started yelling and screaming, saying that the black community didn't vote for me. We're in a special election. Obviously, we're during a lockdown. I didn't get to meet anybody. I didn't go out there, and I wasn't able to do door-to-door. But she started yelling over me and saying, oh, whatever, whatever. And then they cut it off. But this is what happens. You know, if you stand up for yourself, there are people that push you back. And a lot of times white liberals do push you back. And I try to point out to people, you know, Malcolm X once said, the media will have you thinking the oppressor is the oppressed. And that's what we are seeing right now. I think that is exactly what we're seeing. President Trump is doing such a great job, but we're being told he's the racist, whereas Joe Biden, who's oppressed us for a very long time, years in office, especially as a senator, but he's supposedly the great guy that everyone should vote for. So it's about, you know, opening your eyes and understanding and taking a stance. Don't ever be afraid is what I tell people. Don't back down. That's what they want you to do.
They want you to sit down and shut up. That's yeah. really what they want. Tell us more about the response you've received from other black people.
Yeah. So it's interesting. There's a lot of people. So there's some black people who say, oh, my gosh, you're such an Uncle Tom. You're a sellout. You're this. You're that. And you're just like, OK, I've heard it before. That's nice. And then there's some black people that'll say, you know, they'll DM me, you know, and be like, hey, I can't really say anything, but I love what you're saying because you're right. You know, we have given them so many chances. And when they say we, Democrats, so many chances to do well and right by our community. And they haven't. And we notice. And then there are some people that are fully on board, like myself, who says, get these people out of office. You know, and they're like, we're rooting for you, Kim. You know, we're rooting for you to do this because, you know, people might see the race in Baltimore, but this is something that could happen in every major inner city across the country. Hopefully we can use this as a template moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think that win or lose, you should help raise money for black candidates to run yeah. for office.
Yes.
And
absolutely
to challenge the Democrat power hierarchy and the Democrat orthodoxy in these cities.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I would love to. Like I said, I can't believe how many people donated to our campaign. And
how many donors?
Oh, my gosh. We have over 80,000.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. We have a lot of small donors across the country. But this is what I want people to look at. If you look at my FEC report, you will see in this so-called racist America, most of my donors are white. Right? Most of my donors are white. Here are white people supporting a black woman running in an inner city to help and change, hopefully, black lives. That is not a racist America.
And yet still we are being told by LeBron James and these other people we live in a racist country.
Right.
So comment more on just kind of this idea of police in our inner cities. More police, less police. What's going on here?
Yeah. So in the first campaign ad that I did, we talked to people and showed how no one in Baltimore City wants to defund the police. Absolutely no one. There was a poll that went out by Gallup. 81% of black Americans do not want to defund the police. The only people saying that are the people that walk around with security detail, that don't live in dangerous neighborhoods, and like Michelle Obama, you know, living in a mansion in Martha's Vineyard. when really, when you're there and you understand we have, right now we're down police considering the population size. We need more funding for our police. We need a bigger police presence. Like I said, we had over 300 murders the past 5 years, over 700 shootings the past 5 years, and over 400 carjackings, armed carjackings in the past 5 years. It is dangerous. And a lot of people are afraid to leave their home. We need more funding. If people are listening and you say, you know, you want to do something about police brutality, you want police better trained, well, guess what? You need more funding for better training. So it absolutely doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it seems as if they almost want the anarchy and the riots
absolutely.
In the streets.
Yep, that's what they want.
And they're supporting it. BLM says that they should get reparations. What's your opinion on that?
I guess, yeah, if that's like the easy cop-out, I feel like. Reparations. Here's the thing.
For being descendants of slavery.
Right. Meanwhile, I've never met a slave. I don't know, you know, even anything about slavery at that time, how it was, you know, even if my ancestors, you know, where they're from, I don't know. That's just something that I don't know. I don't know if you know if your ancestors were slave owners. I don't know.
My ancestors fought in the Union side of the Civil War. So do I get a payment for that?
No, I don't think you do.
I don't deserve
it. No, you're white. No, you don't.
But what about the white people that died to free black people?
You're not included in that.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
Yeah.
But what I always laugh about on the reparations argument is that people say that voter ID is racist. Yeah. And then they say you're supposed to get your paperwork together to prove that you come from slaves. I'm like, if you can get your paperwork together to prove you come from slaves, like you can show your ID to vote.
Yes.
Like, I think that if you can get your ninth generation, you know, family lineage together. But BLM said that the stealing that they were doing in Chicago was reparations, that they deserve it.
Oh, right.
Is this something you hear in the black community, or is this kind of a
propaganda, fake news? Remember, yeah. AOC said that they were stealing and looting in New York for bread because everyone was hungry. Yes, that's why
like
we're
Gucci
stealing.
Bag.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I want to tell you guys about Good Ranchers. It's amazing. Connor here, Charlie Kirk Show. He is raving about Good Ranchers. He says the marbled meats, the texture, the flavor, the depth, the juiciness. He has not stopped talking about Good Ranchers meat. We've been talking about it. We said, okay, give us some of that Good Ranchers meat. Boom! 10 out of 10. That's right. He's smiling. It's true. Go to goodranchers.com right now. And they began with the standard of bringing top quality meat. That's what they're all about. T-bones, fillets, chicken, you name it. If you're responsible for dinner, it's goodranchers.com. Tell them our show sent you. Even better, if you need a T-bone right now, goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Goodranchers.com, American meat the way it should be. Good Ranchers is the place to be. But guess what? You don't have to go anywhere because they deliver to your door. So it's goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Goodranchers.com, get the meat you need. Juicy, sizzle it, mouth-watering, titillating, awesome meat. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. What does success look like in a decade for the black community?
Thank you. So career opportunities, once everyone is working, the only way you're going to
be specific.
Anyone out of poverty is with employment. Be specific.
Yeah, like what does success look like?
What does success look like? How about when black people are able to take their own destiny into their own hands, not being on government assistance?
Good.
You know, when you are on government assistance, you only get as far as that government assistance allows you to get. Education is key. We have to really take education seriously and understand this is the difference between black Americans most of the time and African immigrants. You know, Nigerians come to this country and they value education. And you know what they mostly
do better
are?
Than white people.
Yep. They are judges, they're lawyers, they're doctors. It's education is key.
And keeping the family together.
Yeah. So very strong.
How do we cut fatherlessness in the black community? How do we stop the 77% of black kids that are growing up without a father?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, that's why I said I hate this whole Section 8 housing voucher situation.
Yeah, I like the Section 3 thing. It's very interesting.
Yes, and you know what's crazy about that? I was actually told more about that from Daron Smith. You know, he's in Trump's administration.
He's a dear friend.
Exactly. So they're looking at this. The Trump administration is looking at this. So that's great. Obviously, the $500 billion that he's going to invest in the Opportunity Zones, that's going to help in the black community. And then, of course, just rolling back, literacy, rolling back. Basically, what I tell people, if you look at the criminal justice reform that Trump is working on, he's rolling back a lot of what happened with that 1994 crime bill. So there is things that we have to roll back. And then we have to come together and be unified and say, look, this is why family structure is so important. This is why I voted for President Barack Obama. I thought he was going to do this.
Yeah.
But now we have to take it into our own hands. But yes, as soon as we have less government, I think we will succeed.
Yeah. And I think that empowering the churches. And I mean, what I can't understand is these black churches that are mobilizing their congregation to go vote for Democrats. It's like, guys, maybe 20 years ago, I wouldn't agree with them. But 50 years, we have spent $26 trillion and the black community is poorer per capita. It is less married per capita. It's having less children. It's a smaller portion of the American population, less small businesses. That started to change a little under Trump. Then we shut down the country. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, I have some good news for you.
Okay.
So I'm actually meeting with 30 black pastors in Baltimore City. This is unheard of.
You got to get them endorsed. Get them to endorse you.
Yes. Yeah. So they're excited. They're like, you know what? This young lady might be what we need. There's a lot of these pastors that were already in those churches back in 87 when my opponent ran the first time around.
And 1987.
Yes. And so
I wasn't alive.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so young. Yeah. No, but Pastor Simmons, the guy that we talk to often, he said, look, he made us promises that he did not keep and we're done with it. You know, we're done with the crime and violence. We're done with some of our people in our congregation feeling like they can't leave their homes. It's so dangerous. So I'm meeting with the pastors. Hopefully they will endorse me. That's a great
sign.
That'll be a big deal. I think that's going to push us over the top.
Yeah. And the idea of faith and the idea of life is a very big issue in the black community.
Yeah.
Because abortion has just devastated the black community.
Absolutely.
Since Roe versus Wade. We have seen, you know, 61 million abortions. 40% of all abortions in this country are in the black community, despite blacks being 14% of the population.
Yeah.
It's just
Isn't that
devastated.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the founder of Planned Parenthood was Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, hated black people.
Yep.
And so you see there are more Planned Parents per capita in the black community than anywhere else in the country.
Yes.
And it's just – it's a really, really disturbing thing. Kim, I just want you to summarize all of this. How can people help you and challenge our listeners – to do something big and bold to help this agenda that you've articulated?
Yeah, thank you. So first of all, social media is key. You know, that's what has been running my campaign this entire time. So even if you just share a post, right, that's helping. Obviously, donating to the campaign, KimKForCongress.com. You can phone bank from anywhere in the country. You know, we can send you 25 phone numbers. You call those people in Maryland's District 7 and say, look, get out and vote for Kim. Here's where she stands. We'll give you everything you need to know about
that.
Yeah. And also, you know, just making sure that this is a conversation that a lot of young people are having. This is what I love about Turning Point, because you guys are now molding the next generation into thinking about what we're doing here. Like in Baltimore City, Democrats have heard us for so long. 50 years of Democrat rule, mob rule. We've got the corruption to prove it. So obviously, talking to your friends about it and then just keeping people informed on the facts. We got to combat fake news every day. I know it's awful, but we have to continue to do it and never back down, never be afraid. But as far as my campaign, if you go to KimKForCongress.com, share it, phone bank for us. If you're in the Baltimore area, you can volunteer with us. Knock doors on election day. We're going to need a ton of people. But yeah, I love it. Just more support. Like I said, social media is key. And if anyone is thinking about running for office, please don't think twice. Get up there and do it. Now that we have social media, like I said, I made millions of dollars just dropping a campaign ad on social media. I didn't buy no ad buys or anything, just social media.
And the Republican Party got some
attention after that. Exactly. But young people, it is our time right now. Step up, run for office, and get this establishment out of here.
Amen. Kimberly Klasick, thank you. Good luck. We're going to have you on, win or lose, but I think you're going to win. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you for listening. God bless. Speak to you soon.